It's Helping Hand, weekly feature airing on HPR 1 stations statewide as part of All Things Considered, then archived at hawaiipublicradio.org. That's where all of our Helping Hand segments can be found and heard. Friday's Helping Hand connects with an organization, event, or topic that offers assistance to people with disabilities and to people and animals that are among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence. Thanks for listening. We are today on Helping Hand welcoming back the National Federation of the Blind of Hawaii. The NFB is a national organization, and the NFB of Hawaii members of our community, part of that organization, representing that organization, who are blind. They speak for themselves. They advocate for themselves. They advocate on behalf of people with blindness and those with vision challenges. And there are a number of ways to support them, and there are a number of things that they can provide to someone facing vision challenges or blindness, and we're going to hear all about it. And one of the main ways that they do this is by opening their doors for a state convention, September 27th through the 29th at Elks Lodge in Waikiki. And we'll hear about that event, the invaluable way that can assist someone, and the way that that can introduce you to the organization as we welcome back National Federation of the Blind of Hawaii's Virgil Stinnett, who is the vice president of the NFB of Hawaii, and his wife, Katie Keim, NFB of Hawaii Secretary and Convention Coordinator. Katie and Virgil, welcome back for episode 5, 6, I'm not sure how many times.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. It has been quite a few years.
Has it been that? I think it started in 14. So 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Yeah, this would be six times.
Six times.
There we go.
We're back.
and it's great to see you guys again, and always an inspiration in general, certainly for me, but for people who are tuned in who themselves are blind, maybe have a new diagnosis, maybe are facing vision challenges, or have a loved one, someone that they care about, who have one of those situations. Explain maybe how the NFB works and why it is an important organization for them to get to know. Either of you. How about we'll start with you, Katie, because Virgil usually starts. I'm going to pick the person to start.
Okay. I was waiting for the cue for Virgil. Shoots, here it is. I would have to say that one of the biggest aspects of who we are as Federationists is that we are ready to embrace and open ourselves to people who are brand new to their own blindness or their vision loss. And they can come and interact with us in a manner that they can know they're not alone. Anywhere we go in our country, in Hawaii, we know there's other people out there that are blind that live daily as we do with blindness, and they can come to us at the National Federation of the Blind.
Virgil, what did she not say that you can add to that?
Pretty much not much, but you know, I live with this woman, so I have to be careful to what I say.
Oh, please.
No, as a matter of fact, the National Federation of the Blind is an organization that fights for rights of people with disability, mostly blind people, because we are blind. And we understand who we are and what our needs are. And so we, as a organization nationally, will fight for the rights of every blind individual out there. And that's what the National Federation of the Blind is all about. It's to let people know that blind people truly have rights also. We're not second-class citizens. We should be treated equally like anybody else. And for most people that have become blind, new to blindness, or even their family members, and are looking out, trying to find out anything about blindness, the National Federation of the Blind is probably the leading organization that will have pretty much everything out there you need to know about blindness. We even have a research technology institute in Baltimore that when companies are out there trying to do something and they think they're finding the latest, greatest thing that they're going to make it easier, better for blind people, we tell them, give us your product, let us see it, and we'll give you the National Federation of the Blind stamp of approval or not.
and invaluable guidance, right, too. Because if it's not, you can say, hey, well, this needs, you know, A, B, C, and D, and then you're going to get the endorsement kind of thing.
Absolutely. It's, you figure this is going to be 23 years. This Thanksgiving will be how long I've been blind. And so I'm getting close to being, you know, blind as long as I'm old, you know, almost half.
Half your life.
Half my life, but not quite there, almost. So I do understand blindness a lot more now than I did when I first started. I think that Katie and I have a lot to give and share to our community. We've been doing that since pretty much since we've been together as a couple, which is August 21st of this year will be our 21st anniversary.
It's a beautiful thing. That's a mission of giving back and not letting the blindness stop you is a critical part of your mission, and you're an embodiment of that. And it's an organization that, as I said in introducing you, is a national organization and you're a local chapter. How does the organization get funding? Either of you.
I'll let Katie start.
I guess I'm on first today.
Yes, you are.
All right. We receive fundings through generations, through donations. Well, generations too, but through donations. They're private donations. And as a nonprofit organization nationally, we have a state affiliate in every state, plus the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico, plus chapters in every state that serve different communities. In that generous giving through private donations, it enables us to establish our own policies, our own philosophy, our own goals that we will work towards for the rights of blind people. If we were to receive grants from governments, we'd have to abide by government rules, and we choose to stand alone so that we can speak for ourselves. A couple of other points I wanted to say about who we are as an organization. Hmm. We are the largest and oldest organization of blind people speaking for ourselves. We are now 79 years old this year. And we're considered the experts on blindness. We're sought out by corporations like Microsoft, Target, Apple, and many others to sit at the design table to ensure that the accessibility is there for people who have blindness and low vision needs in accessing the world as equal individuals in their community. Another aspect I was going to say is that in our fundraising, it really comes out to one-on-one communication a lot of times, and from the heart to the heart, in that if you know somebody who's blind, or if you don't, someone's personal story often becomes the way that we find our greatest donations, as well as our greatest advocacy. It's the individualism of each person. Yes, we're a collective group of people, but we're all individuals. And that was the other point I wanted to make. Besides being experts, we're autonomous individuals, but we work collectively together.
One aspect of that collective enterprise, or Virgil, before I go on to that, what were you going to add, or were you not going to add anything?
I think she did well.
I think she did too. So I was going to say from that, one of the aspects of that collective that is on display yearly in two ways, both you bring people together locally and a state level, but when you talk about gathering all of those individuals on a national level, I've learned from talking to you that it serves a lot of purposes. One, as you kind of just said, Katie, it helps to further the organization's ability to affect change that will help people with blindness by being able to have those companies talk to you, by being able to review their products and stuff with you to make sure that it's going to have as much opportunity for someone who is blind as possible. And these national conventions kind of, I'm assuming, galvanize some of that strength. But in that same way, it kind of can galvanize when Virgil was talking about people who are new to blindness. I've learned from you that you send people there for a reason. Either of you or both of you talk about what happens there and why you send people to this national convention.
Well, Dave, this year, since our convention, national convention was in
Vegas, right?
Las Vegas this year, we were able to get over 30 people from our state.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
To go. And then it was truly incredible because we had people that haven't shown up for years and finally show up again. And we had new people show up. And at the convention, registered this year, was close to 3,300 people.
Actually, it was closer to 3,500 at the final count. Close enough, but it's a lot of blind people in one place.
Yeah. It's power, though.
It's power. Boy, is it power and energy.
Well, I was just at Ho'opono earlier today to listen to some of the students from there that went to our national convention, and to have them listen and talk about their first time, you know, it's always interesting because you figure somebody that's new to blindness and is also, whether or not they've gone to training or not, but have never left home, and now is leaving home for the first time as a blind person, try challenging that airport.
Right.
It is such a trip.
I can imagine. I can only imagine.
So for a new person, and I was listening to this young man talk about just their step from curbside check-in to getting to security, and then he got lost from his group, and then he had to find them, and then they find each other again, and you know, just to get through the airport, I'm like, you know, that is exactly what we're about. That is why we do what we do, because we're giving somebody like that an opportunity to experience leaving home for the first time, going through an airport. And all of us that travel know how crazy and frenetic going through an airport can be.
For anybody.
For anybody.
That's right. Anybody. And so, you know, to have a newly blinded folks that are going through a training program or not, but first time and having to go through the airport experience, you know, it's like, that's why we do what we do. That's why we want these folks to go to national conventions, because then they get to truly experience leaving home, flying across the country, if it is across the country. But over here, we're flying across the Pacific Ocean. You know, you're talking,
it's a long haul.
Yeah, 2,500 miles just to get to the West Coast.
Yep.
At least, you know.
That's a real flight, is what you're saying, for people.
Yeah, it's not. It's not island hop. It's not like, you know, 45 minutes or 55 minutes to Big Island, or, you know.
Right. It's a bit of endurance.
It is. And so, you know, that in itself is an experience that, you know, these folks will never have if they didn't receive the training or even the donations when we fundraise.
To send them.
And we did assist this year, quite a few folks this year, to National Convention. Katie and I personally, and it's because of what the NFB has done for us nationally, locally, and because of how much we truly believe in the organization, we gave to the organization over 500,000 miles donated for people's airfare. And it's because it's our give back.
Right.
And that's a lot of miles.
That's a lot of miles, and a lot of Virgil and Katie as blind people making our way through
the world.
Some of those are international miles. They're not just national miles or local miles. Another aspect of bringing new people or people that have been blind a while, but they've never really gone outside of their home community much, is we really offer mentoring. And with the advent of the digital age, cellular phones, texting, and not just voice, this year, just within the first 24 hours of traveling there, we didn't have anybody on our plane that I'm aware of with us. They might have been there. But between Virgil and I, we had at least a dozen to 15 people that, I'm here, how do I get here, what do I do next? Mm. And that was all text messaging from blind guys.
Amazing.
And so we were able to mentor not just in person, but right. now through the digital age as well, to help them get through the airport or help them get to a taxi or help them get through the airport or meet them at the registration desk when they were trying to check in, and brand new things to them. And some of them, one of our newer members, she's been around the block a long time. She's maybe in her early 70s, but she's new to blindness. So that was a new experience for her to go into a huge hotel, a convention hotel, and to travel into a huge environment where it's all blind guys. Now, our hotel, being in Las Vegas, was not just us this time, which added a whole nother aspect to the convention for any of us, long-timers or brand new people. Mm. One of the security guards in our tower said that even though we might have been 3,500 people registered, there were another 12,000 people in that hotel.
Wow.
Usually we're it and maybe a few hundred other guests.
So it's a different thing with
it
all those other folks.
It was a brand new experience for many of us if we've never been in that kind of environment before.
Right, and for that example, mm-hmm. the woman you just described, though, mm-hmm. she's traveled in one way her whole life, and mm-hmm. now she's embarking on this. It's like a rite of passage in
Correct.
So many ways.
Correct.
That same person, what Katie didn't mention is, she has been in the civil rights movements and knows about it from a different time of her life. And to become blind and then to see what we are and who we are as the National Federation of the Blind, she goes, well, I feel comfortable with that because she's done that. Mm-hmm. It's just another different civil rights movement.
Correct.
She also said, I thought I retired from this. I don't think so. I'm ready to go after him again.
Right.
She's all jazzed up again.
And that's part of the, that's actually a great lead into this, to the localized version of this, because I think that's where a lot of the power starts in terms of especially making changes for things, because mm-hmm. some changes can be easiest to affect locally with legislation. And when you gather, and you'll describe, because I don't want to put words in your mouth in terms of what the purpose is. Again, we're talking about the National Federation of the Blind of Hawaii, and their state convention is going to be September 27th through the 29th at the Elks Lodge in Waikiki. In addition to coming up with legislation or things that you need, that you want to have advocated for on your behalf in the same way that a civil rights movement would advocate on behalf of things. Talk about that value and just the other values of why the convention exists.
Well, okay. We just passed a piece of legislation locally this year, which it's the right to parent.
Right.
Remember, we spoke about this a couple of years ago.
Yep.
And so it finally passed, and I can't recollect, but I believe the governor did sign this one. And this passed just this year. It was nasty the first round we were going through it, but we had to get out there and educate the community. You know, at one point we call it blind parents' right, you know. But I think we expanded on it, and it's more a disability rights and the right to parenthood. So I think it became easier to pass it through this year. And
by making it more generally disability-oriented?
Yes, expand it some more, because, you know, it was too single-focused on blindness. And, you know, when we come up with stuff to put up in legislation, sometimes that's what it takes. You know, well...
Modification, you're saying.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, so we passed this locally here, and many states this year passed it, the same bill, in their state legislation. The other thing that's many states, we haven't yet, but it's a work in progress, is the total abolishment, and I'm saying total abolishment, of paying people with disabilities sub-minimum wage.
Right.
So it's not an overnight thing. It could be a few years. I mean, we've been talking about this as a blind organization for many years.
Right.
That piece of law has been around probably 80 years or so. It's been around a while. And so I think here in Hawaii, there's very few people that fall under that certification. And this is through, you know, Department of Labor certification that they give to nonprofit companies to allow them to pay people with disability less than a minimum wage. So our goal is within the next few years, we'll start educating the community some more. Legislation. It might not pass, but...
You'll fight for it.
We will. It's one of the things that we believe that it's worth it for the long haul. And so that's one piece. And, you know, I think that once we abolish that, then we'll be getting closer to truly treating each human being equally as an individual, because that's the one piece that's holding the first class citizenship of every person with disability. So we're still second class.
Right, to be able to legitimately pay someone mm-hmm. less because of that disability that they've got.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's through the Department of Labor certification.
Katie?
I was going to say blind people and individuals with disabilities are still the only unprotected class in terms of the Department of Labor in the workforce, which really is, as Virgil said, 80 years old, too old. We've evolved too far in our civil rights movement as human beings, and unfortunately it still exists, and unfortunately it's believed to still need to exist in some areas, but it's a process. The right to parent, the fact that we actually got that in Hawaii passed in 2 years, is really fast legislation.
Yeah.
We are long haul, long endurance educators and advocators, and understand that in fighting for the rights of blind Americans, and often other disabilities or just disability individuals in general get tagged on to the laws that we go after. We know what it takes to make that happen. A law recently that just passed nationally, it's been on our radar for, I want to say, 8 to 10 years now. And it was regarding our U.S. veterans and a simple right for those that were injured in active duty to be able to be on the list as a retired individual to fly the military flights. Well, that took us a long time. So I'm just giving it as an example that even that's pretty fast 8 to 10 years for some legislation to pass. But the fact that we've actually been working on the right to parent for blind people and individuals with disabilities for a long time as advocates and educators, but to pass it in 2 years is
a success story.
A success story.
Mm-hmm. No, man, and that's, again, getting back to, that's why I want to draw it back to the convention. I mean, that's where these things generate the power to then go forward, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's, am I right or wrong?
No, you're right.
Absolutely correct.
We establish what we call resolutions in our state conventions and our national conventions. So it happens
on both levels.
On both
correct.
Levels.
And sometimes a need on, let's say, the local level, the state level, is slightly different from mm-hmm. national. So then we will then look at specific things that we believe will benefit locally. And then when national comes up with things, we'll take a look at that, take their model bill. That's why it's called a model, because we just take that. Sometimes we won't accept the whole thing, but we will adopt what works to our community.
Needs. Right, to what would work here.
Yes.
Nationally, transportation for blind people is always an issue, public access to transportation of mm-hmm. a variety of sorts. But we're very fortunate on the island of Oahu to have excellent public transportation services. Our neighbor islands don't. So that becomes a very local.
Right. There's an example yourself.
Right.
There's another
example.
That's a perfect local example.
Right.
And I'm sure in other chapters they have
very much so.
Very much a similar. That could be a story probably right. anywhere that they also are going to deal with.
Right.
And it may not be an island situation, but it could be further out of a major city.
Sure.
That they want to have the same kind of service available.
Exactly.
Correct. Rural America.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Because I think. Anywhere in our country, you take a small town, and then you look at our outer islands away from Oahu, because Oahu's a big city. You know, and you look at the outer islands, their needs are pretty close to being identical sometimes when it comes to transportation and other needs. Because we hear this, like you mentioned, you know, across the country.
Right.
The needs are, you know, sometimes the same.
Yeah, no, and that would totally mm-hmm. make sense. And that's an area where, in terms of the advocacy role that you play, that you can mm-hmm. clearly, obviously, you've made progress in, and mm-hmm. you can continue to make progress. The flip side of the convention, though, mm-hmm. is I was just hoping you'd mention a little bit about the inspiration, the same way that you talked about.
Oh,
you already,
yes.
You talked about the national level, but just to give a plug to the fact that for a lot of folks, that first step is going to be locally before they ever
write.
I mean, from what I have learned from you over the years, before you get that other, I maybe should do the stories backwards, really, because
well,
like before you get to that national level, you know, that level of encouragement,
right.
let's say, that rite of passage provides, you come to the state convention.
Well, we're in the jazz of the national convention where we just were battery charged up for the year.
Sure.
But we're in the midst of raising the roof, bigger and better together, our theme for this year, mm-hmm. and working on it. So our brains are down in the trenches working to create the state convention. So it's a little different jazz we're on right now. But I would have to say, Dave, that as far as the inspiration, we love to focus on our members and our new people who are willing to come to the microphone and share their story of not how they became blind, not the diagnosis, not the medical aspect, but here I was thinking I was alone, and now I'm with you guys, and now my life is brighter, and I see opportunity and possibility, or I've had opportunity and possibility, or here's my success story for this year.
Right.
So we love to bring people to our convention and put them in the agenda if they're willing. Because we know not everyone wants to tell a story. But the great part to me about that is maybe we put somebody who's all excited to be on the microphone, and all of a sudden out of the audience, one of our shy guys or someone we don't even know goes, oh, yeah, that's me, and let me talk.
Right.
And there's that moment of, hoo-hoo, we're all in this together, but we're all individuals. And so, yes, absolutely. Inspiration comes at our state levels. Now, Virgil and I and others have worked hard every year to make these state conventions. And at the end, we go, phew, that's done. But at the same time, we're all jazzed up and we're battery charged and we have new people and we have people mentoring us that we've never met before, or our national representatives or guests that come nationally that want to be in Hawaii for a state convention. It's pretty darned exciting. And for someone brand new, it's really a moment of truth about their own blindness and that they're not alone and that we're there and we're there for them and with them. And they get to be an individual, but they get to be alongside other blind people so they're not feeling left out in the dust.
Well, just our convention theme this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first part emphasizes a very strong attitude, and that is raising the roof with an exclamation point. Bigger and better together. So, again, it's raise that roof. The sky's the limit. That's what we believe in. And bigger and better as a group.
Strength in numbers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Again, that's exactly what it is. And so, that's our theme this year. Because we believe that that's our next era for our organization here in Hawaii. Because this convention is going to be a special one.
Oh, yes.
This convention, we've had a leader, our state president has been a president of our organization for pretty close to 29 years. You know, and she's pretty much said that 2 years ago, when she ran, she said this is her last run. And so we re-elect the new president every 2 years. And so this year is going to be different. And, you know, because I think it's going to be a celebration of what our past leader, our current leader who's stepping down, and what our organization has done in the past. And I think moving forward is looking at the future. We are developing chapters this Friday.
Tomorrow.
August 9th. So,
we're going to be taping, so that will have gone in the past. So
it's the past.
Rephrase that.
So this year, we just created a brand new chapter, which we will, in September this year, charter as an official chapter for the National Federation of the Blind. And this is a chapter in Hilo, Hawaii.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's so cool.
So, you know, we're reaching out to the Outer Islands, and we're working with every one of them. And it's exciting to see the enthusiasm and excitement. Just speaking to the folks that are wanting to put this together in Hilo. And it's like, wow, you know, just to see them, and they're all excited about it. And they're going to be at convention, you know.
Right.
We'll make sure that at least a few of them come to convention this year.
And a few of them made it to our national convention, which they were already committed at that time in July.
Well, they're a source of a source of inspiration. That's a great they're a great ringer in the crowd, as they say, because if you have somebody like that, that's really going to, all they have to do is tell that story that they're opening their own chapter, and it says a lot about that's, I guess, the example I was trying to look for the way that something like this can empower people. And before I switch gears on ways that people can support you, you told me before we went on the air, and I didn't write it down. Who's coming, just in general? Well, you had a couple guests from the mainland?
We do. We have our a board member from our national board,
okay,
who's president of the Texas affiliate, Norma Crosby. So she's flying in from Texas. And then for the Friday part of our convention, which is what we haven't done in a long time, and it's something new that we've decided to do, is create Friday as Division Day, which, because we have divisions, we have different divisions in our organization. We have, here in Hawaii, we have three divisions right now, and it's the National Association of Blind Merchants. These are entrepreneurs. And then the National Association of Blind Students. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is the Braille Division, because we believe in Braille. And I think what we forgot to mention with that is that this year we're going to be working on some of that stuff and putting some of the folks on our convention as speakers to also promote the importance of Braille and literacy, because we're hoping that next year, next summer, 2020, we will have a program for a couple weeks where we bring in blind children and work with them and teach them Braille, which is, the program is called BELL, and it's
Braille Enrichment Literacy and Learning, and it's all aspects of being a blind child, but including cane travel and cooking and just experiencing life to its fullest, but Braille being the written word and the reading word for the blind. It's Braille Enrichment Learning and Literacy.
Yeah, you've talked about, you've mentioned it at least in a previous.
Right.
We have, but now we're getting close to
doing it here.
Right. Making it happen for the first time, and we call it the BELL program. You know, and
it's a national program that we have, and then every state has the opportunity to have one in the summer when the kids aren't in school. Also, one other item about our divisions. Those are our interest groups. So they could be anywhere from a group of people who love to craft who are blind and want to get together and share notes on that. Or it's, as Virgil stated, the ones we have in our state. They're students. They're students in college primarily. Then how do you be a college student together? And how do you mentor each other? Or blind entrepreneurs?
Right, the merchants, just the same.
The merchants,
the same kind of mentoring, invaluable
exactly.
things. I mean, those are other, well, I'm glad you mentioned them. Those are other ways that so people should realize, whether it's a hobby or a business interest, this convention can be an invaluable way to realize you're not alone and you can share that with other people. And become a part of an empowering sort of, you know, use it to further your goals, whether it's business, whether it's being a student or having children.
Correct.
Exposed like that.
I do want to add to this because and I think we bring it up every year because it's important to our listeners out there. And that is, our convention has a cost. It's $50 this year, where is our registration fee. But there are those folks that, because we do understand that the highest unemployment rate in our country, especially with the disability, is, you know, the blind is over 70% unemployed. So we know a lot of them don't have money. And so don't make that your barrier for not going. Just know that if you want to come, please show up. And then we'll just make sure that you have a great time.
That's a great, it's an important message. And I was going to mention that earlier, the highest rate of unemployment among people with disabilities, the blind. And so they're willing to waive that fee to make sure that you do not let that be a barrier to prevent you from taking advantage of the empowering experience. Turning the tables, you tell me, there are a lot of affluent people listening, okay? And you've talked about the way, well, it's because that's what I want. You know,
I know that
you're there to help people and you are empowering people and you do a lot of good and you're very tough and you guys are very strong. And I just humbly ask you, we've got this very large, affluent audience. A lot of people are in their cars driving home who have resources, and maybe some are touched. So for the other part of our role, besides empowering people who have loved ones or themselves who are blind or have vision challenges and letting them know the stuff that we already did, what can people make contributions, what would be the number one thing that people out there could do to support you, whether it's making contributions or what? You fill in the blank. You tell me.
Well, here's a good one. More so for the outer islands, the need. If people want to help and give back, we have on the Big Island, we have two chapters, one on the west side, one on the east side. And then we have Kauai. And one of the greatest need is transportation. And sometimes, you know, if we could get people, if they know when our chapter's out there, when they meet, and they want to assist or help and maybe give somebody a ride to the meeting because that's the only way they could get. I mean, that is greatly appreciated. I mean, something like that is a big help for our members in the Outer Island. Because it's one of the biggest things I hear a lot. I travel throughout our state, meeting with blind people, speaking with them. And that's probably one of the biggest needs that I always hear, because they'd like to get together, be a part of an organized group, and even for social events. Blind people don't drive.
Right.
And the Outer Island, mode of transportation is hard to come by. I mean, their bus services is not the best. Ours here on Oahu, thank God, it's one of the top in the country, you know. But
and so then, they'd reach out to you, email or phone, if they're in one of those communities and say, hey, I heard you on Helping Hand. When you have an event or anyone who has a need for transport who's blind, I want to be part of that.
Absolutely. Reach out to me, and then I will then get
them in touch.
In touch with the person in that area.
Right. All right. So that's a very tangible and very humbling way that people can give back without costing really anything. And I appreciate that. And I know that things like that are very powerful. In addition to that, and that's a great one. Are there other things outside of Oahu that to help support, like this new thing in Hilo, or, I mean, you know better than me, but that's a great one, what you pointed out. And people can also go to the NFB website. I'm going to give the web address in a second, but it's hawaii.nfb.org. There you can make a donation. It goes through the national organization, but you've explained before it comes back to you guys from them.
It does.
So you encourage people who want to do that, because there's a lot of maybe people listening right now, they can't provide a ride, right? Mm-hmm. But they're thinking, wait a minute, I'll go on that website and I'll make a donation right now. I'll just cut them a check for $100 this minute, or I'll make a larger donation. You encourage people to use that national portal on your site.
Yes, and then they could designate our organization.
When they do it.
The Hawaii affiliate.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. That's a great way. So even though it's a national, when you're making a donation at your website, you're saying you can make you can specify. So conversely, if somebody was in Kansas or something, they do what you just said there. They'd say, and this is for my chapter and so-and-so.
Correct.
Okay. So there's a great way to identify it. And also, I'm expanding on that. So someone could say, wow, they're expanding the Hilo and I want to help further that. I can make a donation on behalf of this new chapter that's going up in Hilo and specifically earmark my funds to help them with whatever way this money can.
Correct. I would say, along with transportation, time is invaluable for all of us. And we have a lot of people who want to participate with us in our activities and our outreach and our education. And they're not blind. And that's great. We have a lot of friends who are not blind that participate. But their time and energy to participate with us, whether we're going into legislation, whether we're putting together our convention, whether we're going to our local chapter meetings or social activities, time becomes invaluable to everybody. Mm. And it also helps educate others. Sometimes our friends and family who are not blind become the greatest advocates. I remember a story many years ago. A family member of a friend of a friend of a friend, kind of down the trail, so to speak, he ran into Virgil in the Hilo Airport, and Virgil was headed over to see his family. And he walked up to Virgil and said, "Hi, my so-and-so told me when I approach a blind person, I should say, hi, how are you? My name is this. How can I help you? And it was such a positive interaction for Virgil. And I've had some like that myself. They don't have anything to do with blindness necessarily. They just happen to have been someone who wanted to give time and energy to support the blind of Hawaii. So that's another aspect of volunteering. Transportation's huge. Financially, yes, if someone wanted to donate, that would be great. We have our Bell Academy for our children coming up.
Right, that's another one.
That's
right.
Going to take some money. That's going to be anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 to run that. But we could accept donations of food from restaurants for the kids, or water or juices and some other things that will be used. And those kinds of donations for that kind of activity would be wonderful. Sponsorship for our state conventions. And we have educational scholarships. We would love to be able to give thousands to our college students who are struggling through college because they're blind and they can't afford a backpack or their books. We give out educational scholarships, sponsorships for educational scholarships. Now I'm speaking more in dollars at this point on some of those, but I go back to time, energy, and money. Those are some of the greatest gifts anybody can give another person.
No, I mean, I think as I give your contact info, I'm going to expand. It's not just so in addition to providing the transport, if anybody wanted to volunteer to just be available, and I think that's a great, I guess that's a great way of just putting it, to be available for any number of things. Feel free across the state to reach out to Virgil when I give this information, because in addition to providing transportation, if you just want to, as Katie said, be involved and show your support, they're going to look to hear from you, and they're plugged in all over the state. Let me give the website first, which is a great way to bookmark and know where the organization is. It's hawaii.nfb.org. On that note, people with web skills, that's a great area. I just add that on myself for
Please.
You because I use your website, and they could use your support with their website. And when I give you Virgil's contact info, first visit the website, then you'll say, you know what, I'm going to call this guy. And and it's hawaii.nfb.org. Virgil can be reached. Give the organization a call by calling him at 808-722-4243. 808-722-4243. Email 808-Virgil, V-I-R-G-I-L, @gmail.com, and that can be regarding providing transportation in any number of places across the state, or supporting people in any number of places across the state. And as you said earlier, you'd plug them in and connect them with the right people locally there, correct?
Yes.
That is absolutely correct, Dave.
And the all of this contact information, obviously, the full-length interview, their radio interview, the feature that we play on the air, and all of our other Helping Hand guests are waiting for you at hawaiipublicradio.org. Just look for Helping Hand on the pull-down menu. Other thoughts about other ways? And again, I'd like, again, because you're really creative this year, and I applaud you for doing it, because I push you hard to find ways people can support you. Well, and you did it. And so are there any other ways that you think people could support the organization? And they're very tangible, the things that you provided.
Well, this is sort of a evolutionary statement, but Virgil's phone number does receive text messages, not just voice.
Ah, that's very evolutionary. And considering your trip and all the folks you're helping out. Okay, you baggage is in the, you go over to the, and I can imagine that. So now you're right, and that's a great thing to, so you can call him, you can text him, you can send him an email, and just know that he'll be there and eager and appreciative to be in touch with you. Final thoughts from you, young man?
Again, it's always been a pleasure coming here and speaking with you, Dave. It's every year there's always something different, and your organization, Hawaii Public Radio, you guys have done so much for us, and we just thank you.
I have another item, Dave.
Yes.
Many of our members are looking even to job shadow. So I'm reaching out to your listeners who are employers and have the ability to employ or have internships or job shadowing so that someone who's blind can have some education about the workplace and receive support from those of us who are employed. And as Virgil and I, we're employers and we mentor our staff, whether they're disabled and blind or not. But those of you who have the ability to employ someone or to have someone come in for a work experience in your employment environment, we have lots of members who need that, want it, and are great,
you know,
able people to do the job.
She hit it out of the park.
She did, but I do want to make add on to that piece.
Woo-hoo.
Is Katie and I are both members of our Honolulu Sunrise Rotary, and I put that challenge to all Rotarians in our state,
mm-hmm.
that if you even think about or, you know, just consider mentoring or taking on some blind guys and mentor them, maybe that's the kind of career they want to look into. Because truly, there is absolutely nothing out there that a blind person really can't do. Maybe a few, but really, there's not that much anymore.
There are a lot of ways a person mm-hmm. listening could hire a blind person and take a good look at the things that the responsibilities around their workplace. And as Katie mm-hmm. said, find a role that they think, wow, after hearing that on the radio, maybe we could try to do that with this position or that position. I know it's possible, and I'm not going to use this on the radio, but I just tell you this. My ex-girlfriend worked at a restaurant in Hawaii, and I may have told you this years ago, forgive me if it's a repeat, and there was this person who was deaf who wanted a job there. And at first, the people in the place were like, I don't know how they could do that. And this one manager was like, you know what, I'm going to figure it out. Came mm-hmm. up with this board in the kitchen and this whole way. And there are adaptive ways
that Absolutely.
People like that can find their way in. So I just love what you just said, because you really listened to what I said and came up with mm-hmm. something to a good ask. I should have thought of that myself. I thought, man, this woman just completely upstaged me. Why didn't I think of that? That was a good one on your part.
Well, the challenges to employers are not just that you have to figure it out yourself. That's where we come in as the National
That's
Federation
right. and you
of
can
the
help.
Blind. We're the experts on blindness and adaption and how to do whatever it takes to do whatever we want to do and whatever we dream and aspire to do, and to support you as the employers to be a better workplace for you, because you have someone who wants a job and who wants to be there, whether they're just job shadowing or you decide to hire them. There is a lot of working age blind people who have education, higher degrees or not.
And training.
And training, absolutely. Not just the academic.
And motivation.
And motivation. So,
anyway. No, what you're saying, they should get in touch with you guys, and you
absolutely.
Can help them get in touch with people, and you can help them to do
yes.
this adaptation.
Correct.
It is the National Federation of the Blind of Hawaii, and Virgil Stinnett, Vice President of the NFB of Hawaii, his wife Katie Keim, NFB of Hawaii Secretary, Convention Coordinator. The convention is September 27th through the 29th at the Elks Lodge in Waikiki. And it is, we've gotten to be friends over all these years
yes.
of doing this. So I'll see you before I have you back on the show, but just on behalf of all the people you've just provided huge inspiration to out there in a very unique way today, very creative way, I give you both big hugs, high fives, and I tell you, thank you so much for being that beacon of inspiration.
Oops. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.